People, as a whole, are dull of hearing, and that means that it's real difficult for God to be able to communicate with them. But for those that God can communicate with, it's a wonderful feast. The Bible said, "He that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast." And my heart is merry. The Bible said that wine maketh his heart merry. And they sing that little song, "I've been drinking of the wine." So I've been drinking of the wine, and so my heart stays merry. On the day of Pentecost, they accused them of being drunk off of new wine because they knew that wine made the heart merry. And they just couldn't understand about that time of the morning why the heart would be so merry. They'd be drunk off of new wine. It wasn't the time of day to drink wine. At that time, that wasn't the proper time to drink wine. But, you know, over the evening when people begin to get a little bit weary, they take a little wine to kind of spark them up. And I know today, you know, it's a bad situation. When you talk about wine, you have the coffee break. It should have been a whole lot better if you kept the wine break. Paul said, "Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake, and thine often infirmities," and most of your problems come from your stomach. And when you take care of your stomach as with a little wine, it's made for that purpose. As it was said, when the wound was there, the Bible said, the man poured in the oil and the wine into the wound, and that's what really does the ulcers good, is it's made for that purpose. But the thing is, people in our day, they can't do that, you know. They don't know what it means to drink a little wine. And the warning came to the women of that day, said, don't let the women be given to much wine. And Paul said, drink no longer water, but drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Then I often infirmities, and Jesus turned the water into wine. We sing that song, Jesus turned the water into wine. In the day we're living in, they strain it a gnat and swallow a camel. They're so holy that when they have the Lord's Supper, they have grape juice because they're afraid they're going to get contaminated by serving a little wine. But believe it or not, he turned the water into wine and Paul should drink a little for thy stomach's sake. Thine often infirmities, and it's for sure that grape juice don't have no strength in it. And it sure don't represent the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had strength in it, and wine's got strength in it. So, it has a symbolic thing of the quickening. But our people in the day that we're living in, you know, they can't do that. They become winos, and they nip at the bottle, and, you know, and they'll turn over a big glass or two, and they'll turn it up, and they'll drink it, and it's a little wine for the stomach's sake, you know, and after a while, the whole bottle's empty. That's so sad. The Bible said, let your moderation be known in all things. But nevertheless, it doesn't change the scripture. Even though people get out of bounds and they do things wrong, it still doesn't change the scripture. So I guess someone will go their way and they'll say, praise God, I know why Brother Pike's heart is merry because he just confessed he drank wine. My wife didn't know that. I thought that she was thinking, that's all right, Sister Betty, it's going to be all right. But anyway, you know, it's so wonderful to know that you got a good wife and she's concerned about you. And I haven't been drinking of the wine. You know, it's to the natural bottle of wine. So I haven't been taking a little bit along, but it does say that's what it's for. And if I can get out of this coat, Brother Taylor, it's a little bit warm. I want to read just a little bit to you from over the book of St. John. I appreciate my people. They're such wonderful people. They have such wonderful spirit, and I know that they have their problems, and so do I. But still at the same time, we're praying one for another, trying to do what's right. And like I was telling somebody today, you know, you have a lot of physical problems, a lot of infirmities, and a lot of things happen to you. But it's all because of our carelessness. It's because we don't walk with the Lord like we ought to. And things come upon us, you know. I don't mean by that that people that get sick are evil and wretched. I don't mean that. There are a lot of good people that get sick. Job was a good man. The Bible said a perfect man. But Satan went forth from the presence of God to strike him from his head to his feet with balls. And the man that laid at the pool of Bethesda, he undoubtedly had faith in God or he would not have been healed. And the woman that was bowed lowest to be bound by the spirit of Satan must have had faith in God. She was healed. And the woman that had the issue of blood must have had faith in God. She was healed. So I'm not saying that people that have problems are bad, because the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. But it is a true fact that no matter which way we go, we're going to have to confess that sin is of the devil. Someone would say, well, I'm suffering for the glory of God, I'm sick, but folks, there hasn't been any days like that, isn't going to be any days like that. Sickness is of the devil. There was no sickness until the devil came into view. Adam and Eve was not sick. And until Eve listened to the wrong voice, she didn't get sick. And her children would not have gotten sick. And if Adam had not listened to Eve, he, as to his children, as we say, would not have got sick, in that he was the father of the children. See, God told them down in Egypt, I know the world is sick today. The whole world is sick today. Everywhere. They're sick, but it's because of sin. And the Lord told them, he said, when they went out of Egypt, he spoke to them, and he told them four things that they would do, that they would be all right. In the day that we're living in, hospitals have increased, insane asylums have increased, problems of every kind have increased, there's problems and turmoils of every kind. And it's because of sin. But the Bible said, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Or God just gives grace the more. Because he's intending to save his creature. But he's intending to give that grace as to the people that are making the effort to try to stay away from sin. So if they make a sincere effort, it doesn't matter if sin gets as high as a mountain and they are no bigger than a pebble on the beach. God is going to make grace rise above it, because he's going to save his people. And at this time, he's giving grace to all, but that won't last. Those that are doing evil, they got to answer to God for that. Grace will be lifted. Dispensational grace will be gone. But the grace by which you're born again, that is the grace unto salvation that teaches us that denying worldly lust and the things of evil, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. That grace will ever be with you that are born of grace. All right. The Lord said to Israel, if you will diligently hearken unto my voice, number one, and keep my commandments, number two, and walk in my statutes, number three, and do that which is right in my sight, number four. He said, I will bring none, not any, of these plagues upon you that are brought upon the Egyptians. And I've told you a lot of times, I said, that means that God won't allow it, God won't permit it to come upon you. And sure enough, I found out in the Hebrew word, it was just like the Spirit revealed it. The original rendering was that God will not allow these things to come upon you. And that God is love, and he doesn't do anything outside of love. He is the perfect condition and state of love at all times. He never varies at any time. He never changes at any time. Always he is perfect love. And he doesn't even bring judgment upon you. As to God himself bringing the judgment, the Father judges no man. The Bible said he hath left all of the judgment in the hands of the Son. It was the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that come and suffered. And he feels your infirmities. And he shall be your judge. And Paul said, think not that I've come to judge you. For ye have one that judgeth you in the last days, even the words that I speak, which is the Son of God. He will judge you in the last days. And he will judge the secrets of your heart. For the very secrets, the thoughts, the meditations of your heart shall be made manifest. And you shall be judged according to the deeds done in the body. And according to your very thoughts, you're going to be judged. Whereas the Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, that we should bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That is to say, what we should do is eradicate our mind, that we should never lean to our own understanding, but that we should have the mind of Christ, and to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be like God. He was made in the form of God, so he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A lot of people, they think that's robbery. They think that's blasphemy. When you talk about an equality with God, they think, sure, that you're blaspheming. But he was made in the image of God. As a matter of fact, he was the express image of God. And he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. But he didn't try to make of himself a reputation. So then it all starts with the thoughts of the heart. The thoughts of the heart, this is where it all starts. And the thing that takes place is in the heart. Now, if I had about 3 to 12 hours to talk to you, then we could explain a little bit of that. 3 to 12 hours, and we could explain a little bit of that if you were diligent. But as I said, a lot of people, they say, well, Brother Pike, as to the sickness and all these kind of things, brought out some of this morning. I'd really like to minister on that. But they say, well, you know, what do you mean, hearken unto the voice of the Lord? We're Christians. We hearken unto the voice of the Lord. But see, that was what, wasn't what he said. He said, if ye shall diligently. See, just like I say, you need to pray. Somebody said, well, now I pray. I'm a praying man. I'm a praying woman. But that wasn't what he said. He said, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. Just praying, that doesn't get the job done. Somebody said, well, I believe, and that's great. If you believe, that's wonderful. But the Bible said there is more to it than that. He said to watch and to pray, lest you enter into temptation. And he said, when you pray, someone will say, well, I'm a believer. He said, when you pray, believe. But you have to believe and pray. And you have to pray and you have to believe. And someone would say, well, I've got faith in God, I believe. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And did you know that whereas works without faith is dead, faith without works is dead, that it takes works with faith and it takes faith with works, that either one of them by itself will not do? All these people that are going around and say, well, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I was born again and I'm on my way to heaven and I'm a Christian, and they dabble around in this in the world, they dabble around that in the world, and they do this little thing in the flesh over here and this little thing in the flesh over here. The Bible said that the child is known by his doings, not by his confession. He is known by his doings. The Bible said if you've had a will, that's fine, but now I'm looking for the performance. So then if the Spirit of Christ is in you, it'll have a performance. And that life will be made manifest in your mortal genes to this extent that you'll be about your Father's business and you'll act like Christ. And I say again, this is why they called them Christians at Antioch, because they act like Christ. Telling somebody that you are a Christian, confessing to be a Bethlehemite, coming to church, that doesn't mean anything. It's when you live a holy, godly, clean, pure, overcoming life. And when you add to your experience virtue, the glory of God, long-suffering and meekness and patience and godliness, temperance, all these kind of things. When you withdraw from gossip and backbiting and sitting around under a TV and reading magazines and newspapers and having conversations of non-virtuous things, when you withdraw from all those things as to those things that are non-virtuous, then you can be like Christ. Then you can have salvation. Then you can have eternal life. But beloved friend, just because you say that you are a Christian, just because you confess Christ, that don't mean nothing. There's millions of people that have done that. And when I say millions, that's no exaggeration. Millions of them have done it. But that don't mean they're Christian. That means there's something wrong somewhere, because the Bible said, fear not, little flock. It didn't say anything about millions and millions. It just said, little flock. It's like I was saying today, some folks said, well, I'll just be honest with you, Brother Pike. I've had them to talk to me, you know, along this line. I just don't know about the bride of Christ. I don't know who is the bride of Christ. I don't know. This preacher over here said he's raised up for the bride of Christ. And this preacher said he's raised up for the bride of Christ. And, you know, and I just don't know who the bride of Christ is. And I don't know who's preaching to the bride of Christ. And I just don't know how to tell them. Well, it's easy. Just tell them by their works. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Tell them by their works. For men, they don't gather figs of brambles. They don't do that. Figs of thistles. They don't do that. See, who is the bride of Christ? Well, it's like I was saying today, Sister Betty, she's my wife. She's my bride. Now, she has taken my name, number one. Sister Betty, she takes care of my family, number two. She lives over at my house, number three. Are you listening to me now? She's concerned about me, number four. Now, she is concerned about the welfare of her family, and she's looking after her family. I'm speaking it just as a man, as of a woman. You know, I know when we become the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're concerned about the things of God. But let me make my point. So, you can tell Sister Betty, she don't live over at somebody else's house. You can tell your bride because she don't live over at somebody else's house. Somebody said, well, mine does. Well, I'm talking about a bride, a wife. I'm not talking about a lady that you dwell with, or a woman. You couldn't call her a lady. But anyway, see, I'm simply saying that you can tell the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ has his name. The bride of Christ is concerned about his family, his children. The bride of Christ is found wherever he's found. The bride of Christ acts like him. The bride of Christ is with him. And the bride of Christ is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he is the Word. And that Word is spirit and life. And the bride of Christ is a Word bride. It's a spirit bride. It's one that loves the Word, that thinks the Word, that speaks the Word, that acts the Word, that lives the Word. That's concerned only about the Word to the extent every thought is cast down. And every thought that is left, it is the Word thought. It is the bride thought. See, so there's no problem to tell who the bride is. All these people in the world, these church people, touch not the bride. All these people here at Bethlehem, while these people, all of these people are not the bride. See, we've got people here that they are partly with me like they are with God. They are here like maybe on Sunday and sometimes fairly regular attenders. But in their spare time, they go skating. They go to Six Flags. They go down to the beaches. They go out to the singings, these gospel singings. They go out to these gospel singings. And they go out to the different places. See, but then there are other people that love God that they don't do any of that. They just follow Christ. They go with the Lord. There are some that come here to this meeting, but they don't go to men's meeting as to the brethren gathering down here. They don't give to God. They don't pray. They don't fast. They're just in and out. They're more like visitors. But see, when you are the bride of Christ, you are the Word bride. You walk in the Word. You talk in the Word. You live the Word. You think the Word. You love the Word. You meditate in the Word day and night till it's not you living but the Word. And you kill the body and you mortify the deeds of the flesh until it's not you living but it is the Word. Because that is His body and the Word is spirit and life and you have given your spirit and life as to the indwelling one to Almighty God, and it's Christ now living in that human body, and that human body is now the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are not ambitious anymore for the ball games. You're not ambitious anymore for a career in life. You're not ambitious anymore to make a million or to be a celebrity or have somebody to praise you or to be admired in the world. You could care less about that. That's not your interest. I say this so often, you wouldn't spit on it. See, you wouldn't waste your spittle on that. Somebody would say, well, spittle is a mighty little thing. Well, it's a great thing when it's Christ's spittle. He used it on some mud to open the blind eyes. You wouldn't waste your spittle on it. So, this is where we're at, folks.
Who then is the bride of Christ? Who then is the one that loves the Lord? And can you tell the difference? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If you could not tell whether my wife was my wife or somebody else's wife, I'd be trying to figure out how to get away from her. I wouldn't want her around me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the way I'm put together. You know, and I happen to be acquainted with the Lord enough to know that if you couldn't tell his bride as to whether it was his bride or the devil's bride, it wouldn't be the Lord's bride. It wouldn't be the Lord's bride. See, you don't eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. The Bible says that. And you're not lukewarm, for God said, if you are, then you vomit, because though you might have been in my mouth, I spew you out. And all of my tables are full of vomit. I'm talking about the world now. I'm talking about the religious set. All are full of vomit, lukewarm, Laodicean, the last generation, people's rights. See, so whether or not we are the Word, or whether we are the spirit of Satan as to his mind, that's where we differentiate right there. I want to read from the book of St. John. If you got your Bibles, you can read with me. Chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. All right. Jesus said, I go away. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, the 20th verse, and come again unto you. Now he said, I go away, but I'll come again, because he said, I'll appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me. And he said, and I go, but I'll send the Comforter, even the Spirit of truth. Jesus said to Pilate, I came into the world to bear witness of the truth. Now he is saying, I will send you the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they see it him not. So then we know that if he came to bear witness of the truth, then the Spirit of truth was the Spirit of Christ. And if the Spirit of truth is to come back, in that he said, I go away, but I will return unto you. It's very evident that the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, even the Holy Spirit, is the same Christ that was in that body. It is now in you and I. It hath returned, and that makes that Spirit and that body one. And as he said here, when Philip said, suffer us to see the Father. So he said, Philip, have I been with you so long time and yet you have not known me? Isn't it said in the scriptures, as I would say to you tonight, that the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, or that is, as to a body, there is no other part of the Godhead as to a body. This is the only body there is when it comes to a bodily thing, as to an envelopment or a temple as to what God dwells in. God is a spirit. And someone would say, well, God has a body of his own. I know they teach, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they say number one person and number two person and number three person. That's foolishness. See, that's not Bible. That's some man-made concoction. That's not right at all. It doesn't say anything about that. See, it speaks of Christ Jesus as being the fullness of the body. He is the express image of God. He is the image that God spoke to before the world ever was, and before that image was manifested in a fleshly form. And he said, come and let us make man in this image, or in our own image. Or the great Father, who is the great eternal Spirit, said to the Son. Someone would say, Brother Pike, how can that be? Wasn't born until just before Calvary, as we say, to become the Lamb of the evening time. Jesus has always been here. Jesus didn't just come about the time of Calvary. Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. He was always here. The Bible said, these things that God has given us, I have given these to you in Christ before the world ever was. Christ was there before the world ever was. Christ was in the Old Testament. The Bible said, in the Spirit of Christ, signifying as to the coming, as to the sufferings. And when he speaks of Melchizedek, who was he speaking of? As being the priest. As the priest of the Most High God that met Abraham in the Valley of Shavi. And Abraham paid tithe there to him. And Levi, before he was ever born from the loins of Abraham, it was accredited to him that he paid tithes unto this great high priest, the priest of the Most High God. It was Christ. And the Bible said, he hath no beginning, and he hath no end. He hath no father, he hath no mother. And this Jesus that he was to come was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That is to say, this body that was to be made, a human body, flesh and bones, was to be made after the order of Christ. That it was to be the temple in which the great high priest of God would dwell. And that today we have a high priest, such as the great heavenly Father's high priest. a priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, and not a priest that has to offer up for himself before he can offer up for us as to an atonement. But the great high priest, even Christ himself, which Aaron was only symbolic of, whereas the Bible said in Aaron going into the holies of holies as to the symbols, are the types that the thing that he offered unto God could never make the comer thereunto perfect, not even the high priest doing it himself. As pertaining to the conscience, he could never be perfect. But that when the high priest himself come, that he would take care of this. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost thus signifying, that is, Aaron was a type of the Holy Ghost, that someday the Spirit of God would come that could enter in beyond the veil, that is to say, right into your heart, pass right through your body. That's why Jesus has to make a new way, a consecrated way, that is, the Bible said, through the veil of his own flesh today, the Holy Ghost has entered right into your heart to purge your conscience, and now you have a clean conscience. Here's the thing, folks. Someone would say, well, you say now, here, Philip, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. God is a spirit. That's why he said you've seen the Father. See, the only thing that you can see of the Father is his body. If Brother Taylor stepped out of his body, I couldn't see Brother Taylor. I see Brother Taylor in his body. That's why you don't see angels. Someone would say, well, I believe if one come around, I could see him. They're around right now, where two or three are gathered together in his name. Jesus is here, even Christ, the resurrected Christ. Do you see him? The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Do you see him? See, the angels encamp round about them that love the Lord and fear the Lord, and he keepeth them. And he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Be careful how you've entertained strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. That is, it might be an angel as to a visitation coming in a theophanies to visit with you, and you don't know anything about it. Or it could be that you're entertaining an individual that is such an individual that angels encamp round about them, and you're unawares of it. But you're entertaining angels while you're entertaining them. All right, so then again we see that God is a spirit. He is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. If he is a person, is 1, 2, 3, why can't you see him? As to the person, as to a definition in Webster's dictionary, you should be able to see a person. But the Bible said you've seen God in no time. Somebody said, well, one of these days we'll see him. Not so. That'll never be. That'll never be. The Bible said he's the great light, under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. Jesus Christ alone, dwelling in that light, hath immortality. He is the great light. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus Christ. And there's definitely a difference between the Father and the Son, because when Jesus resurrected from the dead, they said it is a spirit. He said, fill of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. But in John, the 4th chapter, it said, my Father is a spirit. So then a spirit don't have flesh and bones. If a spirit don't have flesh and bones, then where is the other person? And when the Lord created the heavens, he said, when I created the heavens and I stretched forth the heavens, he said, I did it all by myself. He said, there was no one else there. He said, I am God. I am God alone. There is no other God beside me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, in that he made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. So that is to say, God is the spirit and the body is the manifestation of that image, just like your body is the manifestation of your spiritual, indwelling, invisible, angelic being. So, Jesus said, I am God and I'm God alone. I know not of any other God. And they say, God one, God two, God three, and they are co-equal. Jesus said, where is my equal? I know not of any. I don't know of anybody that's equal to me. I am God, and I am God alone. Where is this other God that you speak of? So then we see why that the God of heaven spoke through the body of the Lord Jesus. And why that Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because this is all that you're ever going to see of the Father. He overcome. He sat down in the throne with his Father. Now, folks, let's be reasonable. If he sat down in the throne with his Father, it would be a crowded thing if three people sat in one chair, as you would say in your human reasoning down here. And that's the way you reason throne, is one throne and two thrones and three thrones. See, whereas to begin with, that's error, because the Bible teaches heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And he said, in what house will you build me, David? What house can you build for God? I fill the heavens of heavens. Even the heavens of heavens can't contain me. I'm from everlasting to everlasting. Paul said, God above you, God in you, and God through you. And in him you have your beings, you move, you're motivated by God. God hath been declared. Jesus declared God. God is a declaration. God is the great spirit that has presented himself through the form of word as to the expression. This Jesus that I'm speaking of, we say he was born to bring about Calvary. That's true in a sense. But on the other hand, the Bible said, thou, O Son, he spoke of him like this, saying, and the heavens is the work of thy hands, and all things was made by you, Son, and for you, through you, and there is nothing that is made that wasn't made by you, and all things were made by you. Read it over in the book of Pauline epistles. See, God is a spirit. Jesus is the body, the fullness of God, not one third of God, and then there's another body for another third and another third. The Bible said God is a spirit, and that God dwells in the body of the Lord Jesus. It says there's three that bear record in heaven, and that is the Father, and that is the Word and the Holy Ghost. These three. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He said the Father, the Word. Somebody said the Son. He said the Father, the Word. Somebody says, it says three bears record in heaven, Brother Pine. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Where'd you ever read that? It said three bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. We say the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because it really is the Son. But it was the Father who is a spirit, and his word of expression. And the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is that which has become God in a personification, which means God in the heart of man by measure. By measure. So then, being full of the Holy Ghost, these people prophesied and worked miracles. So there's but one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. There's not another. And we're not to get confused, as like a preacher that was related to one of our most outstanding Pentecostal churches when I was preaching over in Michigan years ago. When he made the statement, he said, I'm so glad that God sent you to my church or to preach for me. He had a big theater building there. He said, I've been confused all of my life. One of the leading churches of our Pentecostal churches, one of the outstanding preachers. He said, but I always got confused. So when I got down to pray, I didn't know who to pray to. Somebody said, well, now, Brother Pike, that's absurd. It might be absurd, but it hasn't been but a few days ago. A fine, outstanding businessman over here in Monroe, Georgia, caught me one day, was talking to me. I started talking to him about the Lord. And he said he was confused, and he wanted me to explain. How should he pray? He didn't know who to pray to. But you know, folks, all you got to do is call on God, the Heavenly Father, through the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his disciples when he started to leave, he said, up until now, you've asked nothing. I want you to ask so your joy will be full. He said, now, when you've asked before, I said I would pray the Father. And the reason is because Jesus was with him. He had not died for the remission of sin. He'd not left his name with them, though he gave them power. But he would say, I will pray the Father. See, and even then when he started to leave, I will pray the Father, and he will give you a comforter, even another comforter, even the Holy Ghost, even the Spirit of Christ, he could have said, and I'll return to you. The world won't see me then, and the world won't see this great, wonderful Spirit of truth that shall be in you. The world cannot see him, for the Bible said that the world cannot see good when good cometh, and that Holy Spirit is good. And the only thing that's good, because the Bible said there's none good but God, and that's God. And the Bible said that the eyes of the people, having their eyes of understanding blinded by Satan, the prince of this world, or the god of this world, they cannot see. When this great spirit of truth comes, they cannot receive him because they see him not. You must see this Holy Spirit if you're going to receive him. And you cannot see him with your natural eyes. Paul, on the way to Damascus, was blinded. The great light blinded Paul. These little old conductive nerves from your eye to the brain, they're blinded. Just a little light can put them out. But see through the eyes of the understanding. The Bible said, comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. The whole world is in a religious fervor. Everybody's becoming religious one way or another. See, even the ball games, praying like a bunch of fools. Pardon my expression. I said people like a bunch of fools, like in the vision I saw, praying over a ball game. Now, you're talking about fools. Folks, that's stooping down to be fools, and I mean fools sure enough. Praying over a ball game. What an abomination in the sight of God to think that they would count the blood of Jesus Christ such an unworthy thing, that they would pray over such a slop hole. Let's give the Lord a hand. But nevertheless, that's the way it is. That's the way the world is. They're blinded. They don't know any better. You know, and some that are elect are out there among that foolish doing. And somewhere the elect will get their eyes open. The church world has the word of God, just like the Jews did. But the Bible said, not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. See, the word of God is spirit and it's life. And if we're going to get anything from God and understand anything in God, we're going to have a revelation. Jesus said, it is not given to them that are without to understand the word of God. He said, these mysteries are not given to them. He said, I speak in parables unto them because it is not given unto them. The eyes of their understanding can't get this. But unto you it is given, that this great light that shined in intellectual darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, it is now shined in your midst. And the Bible said, ye being children of light, comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful, masterful thing of God, even the Spirit of God. You say, Brother Pike, that was a little strong to say them folks are fools. Well, let me repeat it. Them folks are fools. Let's give the Lord another hand. Anybody that'll know about God in prayer for a ball game has to be a fool. All right. So then, woe unto that man that calls light darkness and darkness light. And ball games are darkness. You know, I asked a question like this. Something come up about hunting today. And I made this statement. I said, tell me something. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity with God. Isn't that right? Of course it's right. I said, well, is hunting, is that a carnal thinking or is that a spiritual thinking? Would somebody like to answer me so the audience could hear? What is that? Carnal. The Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, do I have as many as three that would back that up? Could I see your hand? If it's carnal, wouldn't you say that's enmity to God? How could it then be right? Is ball games, is that spiritual minded? Or is that carnal mindedness? Sitting around gazing at a television show, doing these other things. Let me tell you, somebody say, well, Brother Pike, you think you'd go to hell for hunting? I don't think you'd go to hell for hunting if you was ignorant of the word of God and didn't know. But when you come to God, then you're supposed to know. And if you're hunting for a living and you're hunting for something to eat, of course not. Because Paul said, I've sown to your spiritual, shall I not reap your carnal? But folks, if you're out there hunting for sports, you'll go to hell just as sure as your breath comes in and out your nostrils. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, I can't help it. You still go to hell. You go to hell whether you believe it or don't believe it. I'm not up here to dispute with you about what you believe or don't believe. I'm up here to tell you the word of God. It makes a little difference what you believe. The Bible says this, that if you deny God, God cannot deny himself. It don't matter what you believe. Somebody says, well, I don't believe you'll go to hell, Brother Pike, because of ball games. So what? Because you don't believe it. Tens, millions will be in hell that didn't believe it. That doesn't mean nothing. Somebody says, well, I just don't believe you. No, I don't believe you. Well, it doesn't make any difference. Has nothing to do with it. I say that people that follow after Christianity that are supposed to know the truth and really truly do know the truth, that follow after ball games are fools. And people that follow after the things of the world and the frolics of the world are fools when they've come to know about the Word of God and rejected the Word of God. Somebody would say, well, what do you mean? The Bible says, if any man deny God, he is a fool. And folks, that's denying God, and that's denying the Word of God. And that is the way of a fool, and I don't want to go a way of a fool. You know, I say things real strong, and people just draw up on me like that. Oh my God, I wouldn't say that for nothing. Well, you don't have to. I'm saying it. See, so you just relax. All right, so then, I wouldn't want to call an elephant a dog, and I wouldn't want to call a dog an elephant. Isn't that right? I wouldn't want to call a fool a Christian, and I wouldn't want to call a Christian a fool. So then we differentiate between the two. And who is the fool? The Bible said, he that has said in his heart, there is no God. And how has he denied God in his heart? He's denied the Word, for the Word is God. So then he is a fool. Folks, people that are out in the world that go to ball games, that's the land of Esau. That is Esau. Let him enjoy his ball games. That is his reward. You would not go down to the hog pen and wrestle with the hog to take the slop away from him. You wouldn't do that. That sure would take a fool. As to a man that would go down there unless he was starving to death. You know, when he could have a meal up here like the prodigal, seeing the father's house is filled with plenty. See, you wouldn't do that. He's a hog. He's made to be a hog. He isn't doing anything wrong. It's his nature to be a hog. So he's eating the slop. The Bible said the prodigal would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. But Brother Pike, somebody says, we're talking about people. No, we're talking about dogs and swines. All right, so then, that means that the sow, after that she has been washed, will go back to her wallowing in the mire. What is her mire? The ball games, the gossiping, the parties, the frolic. The things of the world, as to the triflesness of the world, the non-virtuous things, the gossip, the backbiting, her lust, her covetousness, all of these kind of things, the greed for the things of the world. She goes back to her wallowing in the mire. That's what she is. She is a hog, and she belongs to the world, and the world is a hog pen. All right, now the dog will go back to his lapping of the vomit. What is the lapping of the vomit? When you think about the things of the world and you lust and you talk about the things of the world, gossiping and backbiting and all these things. See, you've spewed it out of your mouth when you come to God. You've got rid of this kind of thing. But if you are a dog, you go right back. You come right back out into the world and you start lapping that old vomit again and you start joking and talking to people about this and that. And somebody says, well, what was the score? And what was that boxing game over yonder? And who was that guy? I didn't get to see it all. Somebody said, well, I thought you was a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. He said, oh, I'm a Christian. You're not a Christian. You're a pig. Let's give the Lord a hand. If you wasn't a pig, you wouldn't be eating slop. That's why you lap the slop. You might come in here, you know, with the people, you might do that. There are people overseas, you know, they're pigs, just come on in the house with them. And you might be like that. But folks, let me tell you, you're not a child of God. You're not a son of God. A son of God is not a pig, and he don't lap. He don't lap his vomit, and he don't wallow in the mire. All right, so we know where we've been, we know where we are, and we know where we're going, and we know who we are. See, we know who we are. Who are we? We're sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, Brother Taylor thinks. So then the veil has been taken from our face. We're not guessing any longer. Someone would say, well, bless God, there ain't no way, Brother Pike, you can really know. Oh, yes, there is a way you can really know. You can really know. The Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life. I remember when I was real young, I didn't have a lot of understanding. Ain't got much now, you know, except what the Lord gives me. But anyway, I was out catching a ride and somebody picked me up. And I was in the car sitting in the back seat and down the road we was going. And I wanted to witness to him about the Lord. And I was real
crude about it. I didn't know just exactly how to do it, but I knew I was going to do it. And I said, sir, are you a Christian? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you're not. And that's the way I witnessed to him, because I didn't know no difference, you know. I said, because if you're a Christian, you know it. Now, that's the way I understand it, folks. I might have been young, and I might have been kind of out of balance, you know, out of school, as we say. But the thing is, that's really the way it is. God was watching over me. That's the way it is. If you don't know that you're a Christian, let me tell you tonight, you're not. And if you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, you're not. And if you don't know that you passed from death unto life, you haven't. You haven't. The Bible said we know that we've passed from death unto life. We know that we've been born again. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, the reason I don't know is because I sin a little on the side. Well, let me help you. You're of the devil. You know, that's still blunt, kind of like I was when I was young. If you sin, then you're of the devil. Oh, no. Somebody says, oh, yes, you're of the devil. The Bible said, he that is born of God, he doth not sin. And said, he that sinneth is of the devil. Now, would somebody say amen?
Amen.
When you sin, you are of the devil. Christians don't sin. People, I keep telling you, you that come here that hear the gospel, you that go somewhere to a church where a man's preaching the gospel, and you hear the word of the Lord. And a lot of times, you can go to the church and they're preaching the gospel, though the man might be as wretched as he can be. Paul said, as to Jesus said, the scribes, Pharisees, do what they say, but don't do like they do, because they say and don't do. And Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, nevertheless, it's being preached, and herein I rejoice. So see, you go hear the gospel, and then you go back out in the world, you're sitting under this old television show, you can't keep a lipstick off of your lip, you can't keep from making your eyes look like a lizard, you can't keep from bobbing your hair off, you can't keep from form-fitting clothes, and you've just got to, you know, you've just got to be a little like the world. Folks, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You're just the whole lump that belongs to the pigs and the dogs. And just haven't realized it yet. You are a whole lump. Somebody said, well, I don't think you ought to preach like that. But see, you're not me.
Hallelujah.
I'm called to preach. You're not me. It doesn't matter what you think I ought to preach or the way I think or you think I ought to preach. This is the way I think I ought to preach. I said you belong to the hogs and you belong to the dogs. And you're not just a little bit off in your spirit. You are a whole lump that belongs to the hogs. A little leaven leavened to your whole lump. Somebody said, well, if you was a little sweeter about it. Well, Paul said, rude in speech, but not in knowledge. We were speak this morning. We're different tonight. It takes a little bitter to show you the sweet and a little sweet to show you the bitter. Tonight, I'm talking straight to you. I got a woman over on my right. She plays around the hog pens. And lady, if you don't do something to prove that you're not a hog, I'm going to be convinced that you are a hog. You've come here to these services numbers of times, and you're sitting here tonight, and you go right back to that television set and right back to the things of the world, and you're trying to hold on to little Bethlehem and the things of God here with one hand, and you're trying to hold on to the devil and the world with another hand. On my right, and we got a lady on my left. Right here, she's doing the same thing, and her husband is one of the finest men I ever met, but he makes way and allows for that, and I'm shocked that such a fine man would make way for his wife to be such a sloppy mess. Let's give the Lord a hand. My brother Pike. Yes, that's the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. All right. So then we need to... little sister on my right here, don't get upset. I'm not talking about you. You haven't even hardly got in yet to know what I'm even talking about. I'm talking about a woman over there that's been in religion for a number of years. And I'm talking about the one on the left has been in religion for a number of years. Like here one time I was preaching and I said something about a man, and I spoke of the man's wife and of it being harlotry and some other things that was about to befall the man. And the man withstood me. He come straight to me. And he withstood me. I said, well, it's so. I said, it's so, and it'll happen. And sure enough, his wife turned out to be a harlot, and the man went on to meet God. So see, here's the thing, folks. I'm telling you that you don't play around with God. You are either a pig and a dog, or you are either a son and daughter of God. You are either a beast, an animal, and some brute beast made to be taken and burned. Or you are either a child of God.
There is no in-betweens. There is no human beings and then dogs and then Christians. There is no such as that. You are either a beast or you are either a son of God. And this is why that I speak the way that I speak. See, you that are coming here, some of you, you are doing this with a routine. You come here regular, and it's real repulsive to me, and it's repulsive to God, that you come here with a regularity, knowing that you're going out there slopping with the pigs and lapping the vomits, and as an old sow, you come in here and you get washed up, and then you go back. You get full of the mud again. You come back and you sling it all over everybody. Like an old hog, when he gets to shaking, he just shakes it all over everybody that's around. So then, as I say to these two ladies, you're going to run into God pretty soon. Both of you, you've just about run your course. You're going to run into God because you have played around and you have been a religious proselyte ever since I've known of you. And you won't live right. You stand at the door. You won't get in. You won't get in. And you hinder everybody that's coming to keep them from getting in. See, and you're fine women, as the world thinks. Like the woman I spoke of this morning. A fine woman, fasted, done all these things. But she was a harlot. And it proved out that she was a harlot. And you know what's wrong with you two women? It's because you've got a harlot spirit. Both of you have got a harlot spirit. What it is, you won't let yourself go, but you're covering up things in your life. Both of you are. That if the husband knew about, it would be bad. It would be bad. And you've even gone far enough at times, far enough to try to convince the individual as to the husband that little things happened such and such as it was, but it wasn't just exactly that way. It wasn't just exactly that way. What it was a little bit enticement on your part that enticed somebody to make the move, and you led the husband to believe it was the other way around. Let's give the Lord a hand. You was the one that done it. See, not only that, but that is why that you've come to my services so often and sit and found fault with me and tried to withdraw and tried to discourage as to anybody coming in this direction as to that thing. But it didn't work, did it? It didn't work. See, it didn't work. I knew this, but I didn't say anything to you about it. But I am telling you tonight, because it's time that you begin to get straightened out, and it's time that you begin to do something. Because you watch what I'm telling you, and the audience will find out about this. It's going to lead to a bad situation. You know, sometimes you're married to a man that'll blow your brains out. You ever heard about that? Sometimes you can go so far until you keep on with this and covering up until he gets the best of you, and then you'll commit suicide. See, you'll keep on and keep on messing around until God gets tired of it, and then like that, that's the end of you. It may be a disease, it may be a wreck, it might be whatever, but you can't eat with the pigs and come and eat at God's table. The Bible said you cannot eat at the table of devils and come and eat at the table of God. You can't do that. God doesn't allow that. And you cannot be lukewarm without being vomit, whereas he spews you out of his mouth. You can't come to the house of God and just do any way that you want to do in the house of God and cover up your wickedness like some do here at Little Bethlehem. Sorry to have to say that, but some do that here, and some do that in churches around the world. Folks, be hot or cold. If you're just an old drunk, everybody knows you're an old drunk. If you are a whoremonger, let the people know it. If you are a harlot, join the crowd. If you're going to be a dope addict young fella and a young lady, if your mind is going to be out there partying, then get on the job and go. Make yourselves friends of the unrighteous mammon, that they may receive you in the everlasting habitation when God rejects you, because God hath rejected you. See, so then that means that you need to get out in the world and be cold. It's like a man sitting in the balcony up there. This man needs to go on out in the world and get with the world and get a hold of the world and be part of the world, because he is so choked on the world. He wants the things of the world, but he wants little Bethlehem, and he wants the way of this life as to the good of it and the reward of it. But he wants to be with the dignitaries, and he wants to be with the celebrities, and he wants to be with the elite, and he wants this false prestige as to the things of the world, as to be as it would be somebody in the business world. May God have mercy on your gullible desire. You need to go out there. If you want to be with the pigs, get out there with the pigs. You know, if you want to be with the dogs, get out there with the dogs. If you want to be a son of God, then leave the hog pen and come over here and get into this thing with Christ and be of those that dwell in heaven. That don't sound good. Have you ever wondered why they stoned Stephen to death? You ever wondered why they killed Paul and why they killed Peter? And why they cut John's head off when he said, "You generation of vipers"? That's why they did it. When Stephen said, "You uncircumcised in heart, you do always err, even as your father did. You err by resisting the Holy Ghost, so do you." And they railed on him. You know why? Because as Jesus, he told them the truth. A generation of vipers, a sinful, adulterous generation, one that hates mother and daddy and instruction, one that loves perversion, a bunch of sodomites that has done every dirty, filthy, lowdown thing that there is. And as it was said of Lot, that righteous man's soul was vexed within him from day to day because of their unlawful deeds. They were so dirty and low down that when the angels came down into Sodom, that they wanted to take these men and have an act of uncleanness with them. And Lot was so tore up that he took his own daughters and said, "Here, throw them out there just like you throw a baby to a bunch of wolves." Said, "Take my daughters, ravish them," we would say, "and do whatever you want to, but don't touch these men." He knew that there were angels. Now, I tell you, folks, that takes something to throw your daughters to the dogs. But he was afraid. He was afraid, and he had a right to be. And them angels was really upset. They said, "Get out of this place. We're going to burn this place. You get out of here." They said, "Don't even as much as look back." Whereas the woman didn't believe that. You know, she just had to look back. She had some relatives back there. Some of them mocked when Lot told them to get out of there. They paid no attention to it, but just one look back and she turned into a pillar of salt. See, the Lord isn't playing games, folks. You need to get away from this. Now, I spoke of the lady on my right and the woman on my right and the woman on my left. I spoke of this because they're beginning to come around to the day of the judgment as something on their way. They need to get straightened out and get straightened out fast. And that's not just because they're the only ones in here. But I'm telling you, with all of this hunting, as sport hunting, all of this ball game, listen to me, folks. You don't have a vision from God. You're not born again. You know, you use these things. I heard people say, "Well, William Branham was a great prophet and William Branham was a hunter." I know that. That's great. That's wonderful. But I never hear you say anything about Esau being the great hunter. And he lost his birthright. See, it depends on what you're hunting for. And it depends on why you go to the woods. And then besides that, you get into trouble. It doesn't matter who you are, prophet or whatever you might be. That's just like Balaam. See, when it came to Balaam, Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. And the Lord rebuked him because of his wrong and would have taken his head off by the sword of an angel. And yet he was a prophet. It doesn't matter who you are. Saul was a king, but the Lord took his life because of his foolishness. It doesn't matter who you are. Carnality is carnality. And when you are doing the things that are carnal and you become habitual in this, you violate the things of God. Somebody says, "Is that a sin, Brother Pike, to do these things?" We're speaking of carnality. We're speaking of carnality. When you are carnally minded, you are not born again. Somebody would say, well, I believe it. No believing about it. The Word of God teaches if you are carnally minded, you are dead to God. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. And when you are carnally minded, you are dead. It doesn't matter what you do. You are dead. So then, to be carnally minded, you are dead. Now, as to the world, I want to tell you again, leave them alone. That's their ball games. Leave them alone. That's their movies. That's their frolic. That's their way of life. That's their way of doing things. Let them gossip. Let them backbite. Let them lap their vomit. Let them wallow in the mire. That's what they are. That's what that's for. But you go right through the land of Esau and don't you stop. And don't you mess with anything on the way. And you leave the ball games alone. I'm telling you that are here that has been practicing this and practicing it. You leave the concerts alone. I'm telling you here that's been going to these places. You stay away from those so-called gospel singings. You stay away from those things because I'm telling you, somebody said, but Brother Pike, they sing sacred songs. I know. And the devil quoted the scripture. Why don't you have fellowship with him? You are. Birds of a feather flock together. He's just singing to you instead of quoting scripture to you. Because if you'll notice that every little bit in between, what they do, they have a nice little joke. And they carry on their foolishness. And the Bible said, foolish thoughts are sin. Or the thoughts of foolishness is sin. And they're in the world and they enjoy the world and they're after fame and popularity. And they're using a religious approach to get to it. Somebody said, well, bless God, I believe them boys is good boys and I believe them girls is good girls. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I believe that there's none good but God. Let's give the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. But anyway, they might be fine people and whatever, you know. Fine people, I'm sure they are. There's a lot of them that's fine people. But I'm just telling you what their motives are, and I'm telling you what they're doing. And I'm telling you, you that mess around with this rock and roll music. And I'm telling you this because we got some in the church that's doing this. Some of you are playing this. This goes a little bit strong, but down here the other day, I was down here at the multipurpose building, and I heard something jumble, rumble. It sounded like something out of the jungles. And I went up there, and there was some of our boys. And I said, what in the world are y'all playing? I said, it sounds like something out of the jungle or whatever, some kind of bebop. Now somebody said, well, be careful, Brother Pike. I'm just as careful as I can be. To be sure that I say everything I need to say. I said it sounded like it was out of the jungle. And the devil is the devil whether he lives at Bethlehem or whether he lives in Monroe. He's the devil whether he comes from Texas or California or from Illinois or from any other place. He's still the devil. And he lives in little human houses. In little human bodies. That's the place where he lives. And that was the devil. When you get into that rock and roll music, if you play it at Bethlehem, or if you play it in church, or if you come here and you play the kind of music that I think you ought to play here, and then leave this place and go out there and play that kind of music, I want you to know I don't want you here playing music in this place. When I first started this place, I told somebody, I said, stay off of them guitars if you ain't going to play the right kind of thing out there in the world. I said, don't play one thing out there and come over here. And the man paid no attention to me, but you know what he did? He got his fingers cut off, or whatever it was, as to his hand. I had another one over in Mississippi. I said, don't do that. He did it anyway. You know what happened? He got his hand all messed up to where he couldn't play. See, God doesn't want that kind of thing. God isn't playing games. If God will get somebody that will do that on an instrument, the Bible said, he that beareth the vessel of the Lord, let him be holy. And if God would do that to somebody that's playing a guitar or just singing a song, what will he do to you for hypocriting around and doing like these women that I made mention of tonight and some people that I made mention of today? Feel a little ripple in the water right along here. And it's not anyone coming against me, but it's a man that he knows he's guilty. He knows he ain't doing right. He knows he's guilty and he knows he ain't doing right. See, but the thing is, folks, I'm a preacher of righteousness. I'm preaching to you that that is carnality is death. You that hold back on God of your time, of your substance, and you do the things of the world and try to blend in here with this thing that is God, don't you know you're not going to heaven? Don't you know you don't have God? Don't you know that you don't have the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that you're not a Christian? You live here on the campground, but you're not a Christian. You are a believer, but you're not a Christian. I've got a number of them that lives on the campground, but they are not Christian, and they are not on their way to heaven. They live here. Somebody said, well, bless God, Brother Pike, you don't have no right to do it. Yes, I do. That's what I'm called for. Judgment begins at the house of God, and that's what the preacher's for. Whosoever sins he binds shall be bound to them. Whosoever sins he takes away from them shall be taken away from them. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And whosoever you bless shall be blessed, and whosoever you curse shall be cursed. And that you bear not the sword in vain, but you're there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. You're there to bless them that do good. So, folks, I'm here to tell you that you can't do those things. I got spirits here that's not yielded. I can feel them rebelling right now. They're not yielded. It's like I said to a man this morning, whereas I think God, his spirit's not like that tonight. But I said to a man this morning, I said, the strongness of your spirit, you do not want to submit and follow leadership. See, folks, all over my audience, I feel it right now. I got people here that's just as reverent and try to be just as kind to me and giving me their attention and whatever. And your spirit isn't no more with me or God than anything. You have a contrariness. You have a rebellion. You have a strength on the inside of you that you cannot submit. Some of you women can't even submit to your own husbands, let alone the husband submitting to the minister or submitting to God, to follow God. It's just your makeup. It's your way of life. It's the sinful, adulterous generation. It's a self-willed generation that's heady and high-minded, and they do the things that they want to do. And you're here. Numbers of you are here. And I'm preaching to you, but you're still going to hell. You're still going to hell. See, I preach to you, but you're still going to hell. You're going to have to be born of the Spirit of holiness. You're going to have to live a holy life. You're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You're going to have to get rid of carnality and the things of the world and live a holy, godly, pure, unadulterous life before God and stay out of the world, come away from the world, and leave your natural, carnal reasoning alone, or you're going to be lost. Somebody says, I'm Baptist, so what? I'm not going to say it like Brother Branham did. You know, he said it the way that he felt. But he said, when you say Baptist and Methodist, so what? He said, hogwash. So that's what it means. And that's what he said. But I am going to say this one thing. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. That has nothing to do with it. The thing is, if you are a Christian, you will act like Christ. And if you act like Christ, then you are a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you have eternal life, because the Bible said this eternal life is within his Son, Christ Jesus. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. All right, so then I want to let you know that you cannot be a pig and a dog and be a son of God. You are either one or the other. Somebody said, well, you're mighty hard on hogs and dogs. I'm not hard on hogs and dogs. I had dogs when I come up as a boy. And I let my children have dogs. And we had hogs. And we had hogs around here. And we slaughtered them. That's what hogs is made for. I'm not hard on hogs and dogs. I'm hard on devils. And I hate sin. The Bible said, David said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. And he had a right to hate it because it made a messy wreck out of his life and took the life of his children. And he hated it. And the Bible said, hating the garments that spotted with iniquity, pulling the people out of the fire. And I hate that human body of yours that is wretched and spotted with iniquity. The one that knows to do right and won't do right, that keeps on playing around with the old carnal mind and dragging the stuff into the house of God like a dog going out in an old alley somewhere getting a dead cat or something, dragging it in. I hate it.
It's an abomination in the sight of God. Devils have personalities. Devils are fallen angels. Devils are looking for human bodies. And I don't need any devils at Bethlehem. Devils want your body because your spirit is a personality. And it wants to project itself through your body. And devils and demons that wander through dry places and tormenting places, they are trying to get your body so that they can project their personality. And of course, a lot of you have got devils. And that's the personality that I run into, is a devil's personality. And when you run into it, it's like I told my wife, I said, Betty, when I'm trying to preach, and I try to get under the anointing of Christ to minister to the people or do something for them, I said, it's really a problem. I said, because devils are everywhere. I said, but now when I'm not trying to minister to them, I'm just walking around and they come up to me, I named, you know, sometimes I call names. I said, some of the finest folks I ever met in my life, some of the nicest folks. I said, we just get along so good. I said, but as quick as I get into the mind of God and that devil shows up, and there it is. See, and the Bible said we should not have any fellowship with devils. So then Jesus had no fellowship with devils. As a matter of fact, as soon as that devil got on Peter, he was so bold. The Lord Jesus was so bold. He just looked at his own disciple and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, I've chose 12 of you, as speaking of Judas, and one of you is a devil. So then he said, we should not have fellowship with devils. Devils are fallen angels. Some people are so religious that if you ever speak of hell and speak of devils and speak of pigs and swines and a brute beast made to be taken and burned and vipers, they just throw up. Wow, what kind of talk is that? That's biblical talk. That's the way the apostles talked. That's the way Jesus talked. In their day, that's why they were stoned to death. That's why they was killed. There wasn't a bunch of preachers like these are today, easing along, God is love and God is love and just dropping you off and God is love. And we'll just charismatic around and we'll just shout and we'll holler and we'll praise the Lord. And you know, and we're not going to throw any stones at anybody because all of us are guilty of the same thing. Well, folks, that's not the way it is around Bethlehem. Let's go. All of us are not guilty of the same thing. Some of us love God. Some of us want to be clean and straight and upright. And some don't want to, and we don't intend to have no fellowship with devils. All right, let's stand together. Lord bless you, you that love the Lord and want to do right. Though you stumble and stagger, God's for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord help you and keep you. And you that are hearing the wonderful truths of God that won't go on with God, woe be unto you, because the wrath of God abideth upon you. It isn't that it's going to come upon you. The Bible said because of your unbelief and that you do not the things of God, the wrath of God abideth upon you. Every day that you wake up, every morning that you wake up, the wrath of God is upon you. And the Bible said, I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. He will never stop as being in pursuit of you until you're dead, until you're gone. I will pursue you, for I am angry with the wicked every day. Your offerings is abomination in my sight. Your prayers are abomination in my sight. And folks, let me tell you, we get the erroneous idea that we have to go out and kill somebody before we're bad. But I want to tell you again, when you're carnally minded, you are abiding in death. There is no life in carnal things. You can have all the carnal things you want. You can eat all you want to, drink all you want, as long as you have some spirit as to moderation in your life. But being carnally minded is death, whether it's hunting and it becomes an obsession with you, it is carnality. If it is fishing and it becomes an obsession with you, it is carnality. If it is anything else as being, having relation with your companion, though it is God-given and the bed of the married is undefiled and all, but when it becomes an obsession with you, it is carnality and it is death. And when you get beyond moderation, as you've just got to drink and eat, that is a devil. You are defiling the temple of God and you're beyond moderation and that is carnality and you're abiding in death. When you get to where you want a career in this world or you want to be with the elite of this world or you want a fellowship, those that are to the prestige of this world, you are in violation of the Holy Spirit of God as the condescending to men of love.
false statement, which proves you do not have faith in the word that commanded you to abstain from worldly lust and those things that war against the spirit, and that you did not condescend to men of low estate. To humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due season, this is what God commanded us to do. All right, so then, rude in speech but not in knowledge. We're going to have to get away from the wrong things. You're going to have to leave the things of the world and get in God. And you're going to have to stop wallowing around in the mire and lapping the vomit. You're going to have to stop that. If you are a child of God, you will stop it. You won't take part in that kind of thing. You know, a little child, he might lap vomit. He might wallow around in the mire. He might even kick up his heels and get as big a thrill out of it as the hogs does. But there's mercy for him because he doesn't know. And some of you that come in as little babes, you don't know. Some of you have wallowed in the mire and you've even got a little bit of the vomit. But folks, you didn't know. But when you get so old that you follow after these concerts and these kind of things, knowing that you see those men in reality actually go there and vomit, and you watch those men at these shows drink that vomit that they vomited up, and you just go here, you get hilarious, and you just go, wow, you know, they're your idol. There's got to be something wrong with you. There's got to be something wrong with you. How long will you ladies continue with your husband if he would vomit and then drink the vomit and say, I'm your idol, don't you just love me? Or if the wife did that, how long would you want to stay with her? Somebody said, well, should I leave her? I'd want to put a little distance between us, you know. Divorce, well, that's a different thing, but I'd rather she'd stay in the back room and I'd stay in the front room or something. Have you ever smelled vomit? After a little one vomits on it, says some women, you know, they're just too lazy to wash a little one. They let his diaper, it's terrible. But anyway, have you ever smelt vomit when a little one has just vomited all of itself and that begins to smell bad? Folks, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I wouldn't like that. Well, do you think God likes that? Oh no, someone would say. Well, why don't you get off of God's table? Why don't you get off of God's table? He said, you are vomit. I've spewed you out of my mouth. See, or if you're going to be a lovely child of God, get under the shower, clean up, come to church, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Leave the world alone. Come out from among the mire and the vomit. Get away from those things and come into the house of God and be a real, genuine Christian and love the Lord and give your heart to God. Folks, don't be out there in the things of the world. Don't try to hold on to the world with one hand and with God another hand. Don't do that. Don't do that. Isn't God wonderful? Man. We're going to sing that little chorus. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's sing it, can we, friend? Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. A counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me and is keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful, my Savior is to me. Counselor and a Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor and a Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Let's give him a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. If you believe in what Brother Pike is preaching and you're standing with me in the gospel, then you say amen. You go out and tell the world what we're telling you. The Bible said, and if these ministers had stood in my presence, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. They wouldn't be in this charismatic religion of hollering and praising God today and living like the devil. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't be going to everything in their mind and the contrariness as to their own human reasoning and doing the things that they think to make them famous or to put them in the eyes of the people or to try to get some kind of income or something from the world. They wouldn't be doing that. They would love God. They would live right. They would do the things that please God, as the Bible said when the Lord spoke to Israel, do the thing that's right in my sight, and I will not permit any of these things to come upon you that I permitted to come upon the Egyptians. See, do these things, folks, to love Him, to walk in the light as He is in the light, to have fellowship one with another, to love one another, to not be carnally minded. Don't get your mind on nothing natural. Keep your mind on Jesus. And the writer said, keep your eyes on Jesus, and He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. You know, little Bethlehem is a little bit different from the average church. Not that we're any special people, but it's a little bit different. You know, in the average church, they make a little allowance for this and a little allowance for that. We don't make allowance for nothing. The Bible said if you spare any of them, they'd be pricks in your side. Why is that? Because God wants a holy people and a royal people and a godly people and a pure people, a strong, healthy people in faith and filled with the Spirit of God. And God wants the people of little Bethlehem to do a special work for Him around the world. And He wants real godly men and women, because God is the Holy Spirit, and God is not in these people that you see doing all these things in the world. He's not in them. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care how they act or how famous they're supposed to be or how great they're supposed to be. God isn't in them. God is not in them. But people, though they might be little and though they might not amount to anything in the world, so far as the world is concerned, if they're holy and if they're living right, God is in that individual. And that individual is the temple of the living God. And that person is a beautiful thing in the sight of God, like Cinderella with the dishpan hand. I don't care for these things where evangelists is all spruced up, you know, trying to be movie stars, and the ladies is all spruced up trying to be something special in the world. I like the simplicity of Christianity, and I like the simple people of life, and I like people that condescend the men of lowest days, and I like to see men and women that fast and pray, and I like to see people that live holy and godly and pure, that tries to live a clean, upright life, that have no deceit, that's not a harlot. Women that's not a harlot, and men that's not a whoremonger. And I like preachers that will preach the God of the Spirit and preach holiness and preach against evil thoughts. Charity thinketh no evil. Preach against evil thoughts and preach against the damnable evil things of this world, as to fornication, as to lust, and declare that this is a sinful, adulterous generation and that God is going to burn it with fire. And then when you do that, people that are right, they're going to listen at that and they're going to follow that. And people that are not right, devils and demons, they're going to follow that. They'll get out of there because they can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. And they'll go their way, and their tongue will be like it's been tied in the middle and cut loose at both ends. Because when you preach old time holiness and you preach godliness and you preach righteousness, as the Bible said, being a minister of God that preaches to the people, then they will turn my people from their sin. You'll find people turning from sin, and you'll see demons going. Them demons will go. They won't stay there. Them demons will go. Somebody says, Brother Pike, when that person left, do you believe that was a demon? I believe that was a devil. That's why they left. A thirsty man don't leave a good spring of water when he can get a good drink, unless there's something wrong with him. And when a person walks away from holiness that and refuses to have holiness, that person is a devil. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? If we'll stop trying to be a bunch of pretty boys and a bunch of pretty girls and do like the Cinderella as to the little dishpan hands and get a mind to work. The Bible said they built back the walls because they had a mind to work and stopped trying to be famous and stopped trying to be some kind of celebrity and push Esau out of his place out there and let Esau have that hog pen of Walla. And as the old sow, stay out of the mire. As the old sow, don't get out there and wallow with her in the mire, but stay out of the mire. And as the dog, don't be like the dog. Don't go out there and lap the vomit of the world. Stay out of those things. Those things belong to the world. They belong to the hogs. They belong to the dogs. They belong to Esau. You are a holy child of God. And Jesus said, I went to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will return again to come to receive you unto my own, that wherever I am, there you may be also. That is to say, I am going to prepare a place for you. And it's not a hog walla, folks. It is a mansion. It is a mansion. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it had not been so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare that place. I'll be back to receive you unto my own. That where I am, I want you to be there with me. I want you to be there with me. Father, let these be there with me. He said, beholding my glory. They've seen my suffering. They've seen my shame. But let my disciples be with me, beholding my glory. All right, let's sing this chorus together, can we? I love you, that's why I use great plainness of speech. Not to be rude to you, but sometimes when I feel so many spirits rise up, then I want to say something about the hypocrisy that's in the midst and let you know just what's out there. I want to once again warn those two women, whatever you do, do something. You didn't come for nothing now. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion, 'cause it's good enough for me. I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion, 'cause it's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion.
Give me that old-time
religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody.
Makes me love
everybody. Love everybody. Good enough for me. So I got that
old-time religion.
Got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. So give me that
old-time.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. You know, somebody says, Brother Pike, I'm a Methodist. Well, we spoke about those kind of things. I had one of my first experiences in the Methodist church because my daddy was Methodist. And somebody says, well, I'm Baptist. Well, I was converted in a little missionary Baptist church. And I went down to the altar and I prayed and I learned about Jesus. And somebody said, well, I'm Pentecostal. Well, I found out about the Holy Ghost in the Pentecostal church. And I got a real, genuine Holy Ghost infilling of the Spirit. And somebody said, well, that's enough. Well, that wasn't enough. I learned about baptism in Jesus' name and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That wasn't in the same Pentecostal church. And that wasn't enough because I soon learned about the gifts of the Spirit and I learned about the revelation of Jesus Christ and I left all of those churches and I began to follow Christ Jesus and give my heart to God and pray and seek God the way the Bible commanded me to. And today I don't belong to any of them. I belong to heaven and I belong to Christ and I belong to God and I'm a believer of the Word and I'm trying to be filled with the Spirit. You know, it's like it has been said when you, as to the government, when they go to get cattle, you know, they go to get their cattle and they get it from the Double R Ranch and they get it from the RB Ranch and all kind of ranches and whatever, you know. And they could care less as to what ranch it come from. But the thing they are interested in is the blood tag that's on the ear to see if it is all the right blood stock. And see, Jesus could care less as to what denomination that you come from. He's looking for the blood tag, and he wants to know that you are blood bought. And folks, that's the way it is. We belong to God, and if we belong to God, if we're bought with the blood, then we're all right. And if we don't have a new birth as to the remission by blood, in that there's no remission without the shedding of blood, and that remission is in his name as to baptism for the spilling of blood. The giving of that blood, not spilling of that blood, the giving of that blood, because he didn't spill his blood. That's something accidental. But giving his blood, even though we use that term a lot of time, we mean giving his blood. All right, so if you have the blood applied to your heart, then you are a Christian. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God, and you have eternal life. And I say to you once again, don't worry about sinning. Be about your Father's business. Love the Lord. Don't go around worrying about sinning, being under pressure, thinking, man, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And if I don't do this, I'm going to sin against God, you know. And you're under a weight all the time and you're looking to backslide all the time. First of all, you can't backslide. Let's get that part straight. You can't backslide. God said in the Old Testament, I'll heal your backsliding. I've healed your backsliding. So you can't backslide. That takes care of that. And you can't sin, because he that is born of God cannot sin. For the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So you don't have to worry about that. See, you're sealed by the Spirit of God. And you've already passed from death unto life. And if you pass from death unto life, you're not going to be able to pass from life back unto death. And you're already born of God. And you're not going to be able to be unborn, no more than being born in this world, that you can be unborn in this world. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you've got to remember that you can die in this world, but not in God. You pass from death unto life. No such thing as dying out of this. So then you belong to God. See, and you say, I remind you again. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, everybody sins. Everybody sins. That's right. Everybody that's of the devil. The Bible said, he that sinneth is of the devil. He that sinneth has never known God and has seen God. You don't see God and know God and you go back to sinning. If you sin, you never did see him the first time. You never did know him the first time. Just to see God automatically takes you out of sin. You've never seen God at any time, Jesus said to those Pharisees and scribes. You're religious, but you've never seen him at any time. If you'd ever seen him, you'd have turned away from your sins. If you ever get a glimpse of this pearl of great price, you'd sell all that you've got to go purchase that field. You love the Lord? Let's give him another hand. I tell you, this is a wonderful salvation. All right, let's sing again. Can we, Brother Taylor? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. The altars are open. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? For at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received saved my sight. Now I am faith on the day. For at the cross, at the cross, where at you saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light,
and the burdens of our hearts rolled. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. So come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question. Where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and its will passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this chance to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Sing that with me now. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question. Let's sing this little chorus. I read in the Bible, God so loved sinners, gave his son to die in this bed. And he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his wonder. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his sweet face. With him, we'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for his wonderful, marvelous grace. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with two walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for his marvelous, marvelous grace. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his grace. With him, I will there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous. Thank God, There's the bridge over the river. Someday I will see him. I'll go there forever. The Lord was marvelous. You love the Lord.
Now this morning, we didn't minister the way that you thought we would this morning. Seemed like the Lord wanted to do something else. And tonight, we tried to come right down the trail against sin and the infiltration of the church. Folks, take the things that we've said, give the more earnest heed to these things, lest at any time you should let them slip. Not only that, but take heed how that you hear to incorporate these things within your lifestyle. David said, "Thy word, O God, have I hid within my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And how can a young man cleanse his ways? David said, by taking heed to God's word. And if you want to be right, you can be right. And the Bible said, "I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prosperous." And the Bible says that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And I remind you so much where the Bible said, "And if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. If you'll confess your sins and forsake your sins, whatever you do shall prosper. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. For it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth." The Bible said he will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. For he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. "And ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters to bring forth your fruit in your seasons. Your leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever ye do shall prosper. But if you cover your sins, you'll not prosper. But if you'll forsake your sins, confess your sins, whatever you do will prosper." And I remind you, as I did at the first of the service, four things he said to the Israelites. If you'll do these four things, I will not permit the things that I let come upon Egypt come upon you as to the plagues and the diseases. And that is if you will diligently hearken unto the word of God as to my voice, and if you will keep all of my commandments, and if you will walk in my statutes, and if you will do that which is right in my sight, then I will not permit these diseases. I will not permit these things to come upon you. But in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, if you do not these things, then these curses shall overtake you. Even the curses of all of the sicknesses and plagues that's spoken of in this book, he said. And not only they that are spoken of in this book, all of the others that are not spoken of in this book that was to come in our day. He said, these shall overtake thee. And even the curse of madness and the curse of vexation. And your wife shall become a harlot, and the husband shall become a whoremonger. Because you had not these words in your heart, and you did not live holy, and you did not live godly. And that's what's wrong with the world today. Where there are ball games and their television shows and their frolics. Where there are backbiting and their lipstick, painting their faces like lizards and dressing in form-fitting clothes, a generation of vipers, an adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign, bobbing their hair, lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and filled with the gullible desires of that which is in the world. Jesus said, "And fed to the full, and then your neighbor after you, your neighbor's wife will not I visit for these things, saith the Lord." Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, promising them liberty when ye yourselves are the servants of corruption. For in that a man is overcome of something, he is brought in bondage to it, then is he the subject of that particular thing. But beloved friend, you're not children of bondage, people that are in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world.
as to their human senses. That's the bonds child. But you don't walk by the appetites of the body and the human senses. You don't walk by sight, but you walk by faith in God's word. Coming out of the world, being his separate people, touching not the unclean things, that I might receive you. For all that is of the world and all that is of the world, is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But ye are the beloved children of God, and ye do the will of your heavenly Father, and ye abideth forever. For heaven and earth shall pass away, and so it will. And so the Bible records it, but ye shall not pass away. For ye are the Word made flesh, as to your measure, ye abide forever. Being children of God, then are ye heirs and partakers of the benefit. And I will praise him. My heart will praise him. If you will, lift your hands and close your eyes. And let's worship the Lord for a few minutes as we bring the closing prayer tonight.
And I
will glory all the people, for his blood has washed away our sin. Once again together. And I will praise him. My heart will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give once more together. And I
will praise him.
My heart
will
praise
him.
I'm going to ask Brother Stan if he'll come up, if Stan's here tonight. Dismiss us tonight.
Give him glory,
people,
for his blood
has washed away our stain. And I
will
praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I will
give
him glory
on
faithful,
for
his blood is washed every day. While you've got your heads bowed and your hands lifted up tonight, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. If you're really in the faith of Jesus Christ tonight, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And your faith is shown and demonstrated through life by your deeds. If you do not that which is holy, then you are not his disciples. But if you do that that's right, you keep his commandments, then are ye his disciples. And behold, all things are clean unto you, and you are his children, and you can have the very desires of your heart if you do that
which is right in his sight. He will move sickness out of your midst, and ye shall be a holy and a peculiar people, zealous of good works. For I am the Lord God that healeth thee, for I heal all of your diseases, and I forgive all of your iniquities, and I will move sickness out of the midst of you, and whatever you do shall prosper, and I will give you the desires of your heart, and I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. When serving the Lord becomes a joy and you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.